Welcome to the IWA podcast. This is a culture special, the very first one. I'm Dylan Moore, and with me today is Kate O'Reilly, playwright. And I'm going to reel off a list, if I can, Kate, to begin with, of plays that you've written over the years. So Yard, Perfect, The Nine Friedas, Woman of Flowers. And we were talking a little bit earlier on about The Almond and the Seahorse, well come up in our conversation. But we're here in this cosy corner of the IWA offices here in James Street to talk about mainly your play Cosy, which is due to appear at the Wales Millennium Centre next.
That's right, month. Yes.
So to begin with, I suppose just tell us a little bit about Cosy, because I know you're excited about the rehearsals that are going on at the moment.
This is the beginning of the second week of rehearsal, and I'm going round telling everybody how amazing it is to be in a rehearsal room with these six absolutely amazing Welsh actresses. And, you know, we've got a playing age over three generations. So in theory, playing age from 16 years to 76. So we've got all of female life, so to speak, there with Sharon Morgan and Rhea Richards and Ruth Lloyd and Sarah Beer. We've got Llian Os Daniel and Bethan Rose Young. So these incredible women just laughing, reflecting, talking about aging.
So you've got the full range of ages among the cast, but the focus is very much on old age.
Yes, it is. I started to think about writing a dark comedy about aging and end of life. Back in 2010, I was in residence at the National Theatre Studio in London and was beginning to research a new play. And I became really interested in this notion of taboos, that, you know, we've got this youth-loving culture. Mm. And there's been so much controversy over the last few years about women not being represented in the media, in advertisements and so on. You know, we've got anti-aging wrinkle cream being modelled by people who are, in some cases, prepubescent. You know, and very young women for creams that were selling for 40-year-olds. And I know things are changing on that, but when I started to conceptualise this play back 2010 onwards, I really wanted to look at that, about ageing, and also, you know, the invisibility of women of a certain age, but also our fears and the different perspectives about decline from old age towards, you know, the final curtain. And the euphemisms like the final curtain that we use, we're terrified of aging, of death, of the end of life. And I think as a playwright, partly what we can do with theatre is make it okay to look in those dark corners and hopefully do that by making something funny.
What do you think has happened to our culture? Because it's not every culture, is it? I mean, some cultures revere and respect old age above almost anything else.
Yes.
What's happened in Western culture to...
I think it's the culture of the young and the culture of the new. And, you know, it's been around for quite some time. And again, some of the things that I've been reading would say that, you know, until the 1950s, there were no such thing as teenagers. You know, it was almost like we went seamlessly from being children into being smaller versions of our parents. This is particularly in an American and British context when I talk about, you know, kind of Western culture. And I think it's the rise of this exciting, new, vibrant, youthful, beautiful notion around youth rather than... you know, I've got friends from other cultures. I was working in Korea some years ago and also in Japan in 2014. And what became very clear was the recognition of the beauty in maturity and the respect and reverence and the fact that if your face carries your life's journey, the marks of that on it, that is beautiful. Whereas for some reason, in this, I think, perverted Western perspective, that's viewed as ugly, as though we have to all be squeaky clean and plastic looking. So kind of being in other cultures, like in Japan and Korea, with great reference, absolute great reverence for age and the dignity and beauty in carrying our experience in our bodies, it feels like we want the disposable, the plastic, the never aging over here in the West. And I hope there is a tide turning on that.
How does your place seek to address that then? Are you kind of reinstating the beautiful into age, or are you simply trying to sort of tackle these issues and confront this narrative that we see?
I suppose I'm trying to do it in a less kind of direct way, more through exploring different perspectives from six different viewpoints. We've got three generations of one family, plus a kind of strange sidekick friend, the vast majority of the cast are over 40. And there's an awful lot of discussion in the dialogue about, you know, middle age, how women become invisible, it seems, once we're kind of over 35 or 40 onwards. But also more about addressing the decline, if we're fortunate to live long enough. You know, what does happen? The notion of people saying, well, what happens now? You know, I think I'm beautiful, I've got, you know, beauty in my knowledge and my wisdom and my experience. But actually, there is a point perhaps where I will go into physical decline, or, you know, and also, as we know, issues around memory loss as well, that or other conditions or impairments that come with age. So they are there also as part of that discussion. But it's just really an arena. I wanted to create an amusing... I mean, when we've been reading the script and we've had people in, they've been belly laughing. So even though it's a very serious subject, and I think it becomes really quite poignant and serious towards the end, I also thought, let's have a good laugh about this, to be able to have the discussion, to say, what do we feel about age? What do we feel about decline? How do we feel about end-of-life scenarios? So it's been more that aspect rather than directly going for issues around beauty and ageing.
And the cast, obviously, it is all women.
It is.
And you've mentioned there that it's women who become invisible after a certain age.
In many ways, yes. There's a part of the line I've used on the flyer. It's from the first scene in the play, which is when a middle-aged daughter is talking to her mother. So it's Ruth Lloyd speaking to Sharon Morgan. And she says, it's like I've disappeared. I walk down the road and throw no shadow. And the matriarch says, that's what's getting older does for you. And so it is also this sense for some of these women who'd always been very vibrant, they're still vibrant, very attractive, very beautiful, great at their job, suddenly find themselves being bypassed for younger models, unfortunately often male as well. And so the surprise of that and the shock of that when you go, people are walking into me, they're bumping into me, I'm at the bar, nobody's, you know, taking my order. I'm suddenly disappeared.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a very personal angle.
Yes.
There's a political angle to this as well in some senses, isn't there, in terms of voice and in terms of older people and older women having a voice in society in general.
Yeah.
Does the play touch on those?
Absolutely, because I think... when we're looking especially towards the notion of end-of-life scenarios, there was partly, this argument that as you get older, you start feeling you've got to get out of the way for the young whippersnappers coming up, or you've got to pass on the inheritance, or, you know, you're no longer relevant, so let's just go into the antechamber. And what I'm trying to say also in this play is, actually, let's do the reverse. Let's not do that. Because a healthy society reflects all ages, all genders, all sexual preferences, all perspectives. And ideally, to me, that's my ideal society. Mm. And so it is trying to say, let's be aware of this representation. Let's actually think about what is on television, in magazines, in the newspapers. Let's actually just see who we are missing out and who's made invisible. Because the other people that are often made invisible are people who have impairments, disabled people and deaf people. I identify as disabled. And this is an unlimited commission. which was connected, of course, to the 2012 Olympics and Paralympics in London, and offering a platform where disabled and deaf artists have their work in the so-called mainstream and on national platforms that perhaps our work and our voices and our stories and our perspectives have never been seen before. And with age often coming acquired impairment, you can see how the two plait together. So it's political in that way, trying to give a space and voice for stories perhaps that we don't usually get to hear or to have on this kind of platform, both from a disability perspective as well as from a feminist and just a humanist, we're all getting older perspective too, because of course it's not just women who become invisible. Men do as well, not as much in the mainstream kind of media representation, but I also, you know, this is all of us, we're all in this together. It's not just necessarily this one thing about women.
Yeah. It's interesting because I know obviously you wrote In Water I'm Weightless,
that's
which
right.
was the NTW production, which was very much focused on disability.
Yes.
The Unlimited programme, have you found that lots of the other productions by disabled artists being given access to this kind of mainstream production, have you noticed any themes in terms of putting marginalised voices different to themselves on stage?
I think the disability has always appeared in the Western theatrical canon. You see it back in the ancient Greek, you know, Oedipus becoming blind. You know, we see it right through Shakespeare all the time. It's been used as a metaphor, disability, as a metaphor of the human condition. I think what's interesting is we're now getting people who are making plays, making performances, making dance, making art that is actually from that embodied experience, rather than, you know, a non-disabled playwright writing what they think it is, which is usually very patronising. Usually we're victims. Usually we're tragic but brave. Or the other thing that has started now since the Paralympics, the extraordinary superhumans, which is also problematic in another way.
Yeah.
We're just people like everybody else with our own complicated, wonderful, messy lives, with wonderful stories to tell. And it's just almost like trying to say there have been these cliches and representations, these that have gone on for so long about what it is to have a certain sensory or physical impairment or, you know, perhaps memory loss or mental health issue. And they're often cliches. And what's really starting, I feel, which is immensely exciting, is we're beginning to have these stories from the perspective of experience that are avoiding the cliches, the stock characters, and the usual endings.
Talking of endings, we'll end on this. What do you hope for from your old age?
Well, I hope I get there, first of all, because I don't think we can assume. I hope I will, and I hope that it would be in a little bit more open society that will actually appreciate all the possibilities of human variety and not just perhaps one particular sector.
And on that note, I'll say, Kate O'Reilly, thank you ever so much. COSY runs at the Wales Millennium Centre from March the 8th until March the 12th. And you can contact the Wales Millennium Centre to find out about tickets. So thanks ever so much for
coming
in.
Thank you so much.